ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ओके बिकास् वित् दिस् भगवान् सेस् वै यु शुड् डू कर्म फार् देट् आन्सर् कम्स् टु एण्ड् हियर् देर् आफ्टर् ही इस् गोण्ड् से हू डस् नाट् नीड् टु डू कर्म अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् आफ्टर् See, after the 16th verse, Bhagavan is going to talk about a jnani who does not need to do karma. Also, he is going to talk about it. He will come here. Okay, 43 verses are there. So we are there. To finish that chakram, and then we'll just go back.
अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यो यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यो यज्ञः कर्म समुद्भवः यज्ञः कर्म समुद्भवः कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि ब्रह्माक्षरसमुद्भवम् ब्रह्माक्षरसमुद्भवम् तस्मात् सर्वगतम् ब्रह्म तस्मात् सर्वगतम् ब्रह्म नित्यम् यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम्
नित्यम् यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम्
सो हि सेस् Yajnaha, I'm sure, even though it means a Vedic ritual, a fire ritual, wherein we kindle fire and offer oblations to the different devatas, known as phenomena, devatas, to reveal our, to express our gratitude for their contribution for our well-being. Which is a symbolic act of offering, which is a worship. That's the meaning, isn't it? A fire ritual, performance of fire ritual is what? An act of offering. A symbolic act of offering. It's a worship, form of worship, a Vedic form of worship. That is the actual meaning. it involves kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma, isn't it? You perform the ritual physically. You chant mantras orally, you also mentally invoke, visualize the devatas, meditate upon devatas and offer oblations. It's a karma, isn't it? Worship is a karma. It's a symbolic act of offering, it's a Vedic ritual. It's called sacred karma, isn't it? In fact, for us everything is sacred. There's no secular karma at all, according to Vedanta Shastram. Everything is sacred only. Isn't it? So this is a worship, upasanam, even though. This worship, even doing your other activities also, the day-to-day activities also, when you do it with the proper attitude as yoga, which is a karma yoga, which involve what? Ishvara arpana buddhihi, and then doing karma and discretion action, so dharma governed activities, and then being conscious of not transgressing values and accept the situations, all the situations which same as prasada, entering prasada buddhihi, all these things, this karma yoga, convert the karma into yoga. This karma yoga is itself what now becomes a worship. Living a life of karma yoga itself becomes what? Life of yajna. Is it clear now? This attitude of offering makes the yajna. Any karma becomes yajna, worship. Isn't it? That means Bhagavan is the ultimate end means what? Fullness ultimate end means Bhagavan is the ultimate end means. All that you do, due to the Isharpana Buddhihi, then yajna only. Isn't it? So yajna also is there. So this is also what? Worship also becomes yajna. that we saw that in the previous classes. And here he talks about another why you should do karma, isn't it? Here in this context, he's going to say, I'm going to sum up actually later on why, not today, when I finish this chapter, the whole chapter sum up why one should live a life of karma yoga. Whenever say one should do karma yoga, okay? Living a life of karma yoga means what? Doing actions with proper attitude. Doing karma yoga is wrong expression. You only do karma. The attitude with which you do converts your karma into yoga. That the many points, point one, point two, point three, sum up. Now why one should do or live a life of karma yoga. So in this context, Krishna is saying here, this why you should do karma, for that you have to live in harmony with universal law and order. Why you should live in harmony with universal law and order? Why you should live in tune with the order? Because you are part of the whole. You are not outside of the whole. When you say be a Roman, when you are in Rome, means what? You be a conscious being when you are living in this universe as a part of the universe. We say that, no? You can't go against the culture, you know, of the place where you are living. It's a very simple expression, be a Roman when you are in Rome. When you say, be a conscious being, and when you are a conscious being as a human being, isn't it? You are living this world as a part of the whole, and be irresponsible, isn't it? Be conscious of yourself being a conscious being. That means what? What is that? You have to live in harmony with this universal natural law and order. So what if I don't live, what will happen? If you do not live means you are rubbing the order. You are disturbing, you are violating the order. If you violate the order, if you rub against the order, what will happen? The nature of the order, dharma, is such that you will be violated in the process. Isn't it? You will be rubbed. If you rub against dharma, dharma will rub against you. Why should dharma do it? Dharma doesn't do that. That is the nature. That's how dharma is. Like what I told last class also. If you touch fire, then you can say fire will burn your finger. Why does it burn? It doesn't burn. That is how fire is. Burning is not an action, it's a swarupa, isn't it? Nature. Like that, dharma will, that therefore you choicelessly have to live in conformity with dharma. That is only way, when you don't violate dharma, you're in conformity, you are in tune with the order means, then you are blessed by the order. Once you are blessed by the order means what? The blessed by the universal law, natural law and order means being blessed with all that you need to live this life relatively peaceful and happy. So that you will have the conducive mindset to be able to be contemplative, to discover the absolute peace and happiness. Simple thing. Isn't it? For that, why you have to live a life in conformity with dharma without violating the order? For that he says, because there is life is interconnected. Life is interdependent, interconnected. Even though you are independent and all that, you can say, life is interdependent. Because you are part of the whole. Isn't it? There's nothing as your own. Everything is, and then it is Ishvara. So that he's explaining here. Annat bhavanti bhutani. All the beings are born of food, basically. I told you about how the modified food essence is what? The parental, essence of the food, parental food. This body is born of that. And on that, eating the food, it grew up, eating the mother's food. Then after being born, it's still sustained by food, isn't it? Then what is this body? What is this being? Living being, any living being is what? Annat Bhutani Jayante. You know? So, Annat Bhavanti Bhutani. In Upanishad we say, Annat Di Khalvimani Bhutani Jayante Ye Najata Nijivanti. Now, like that we have in Upanishad also. Same thing. So, Annat Bhavanti Bhutani. But, so food is so important. Food is, when I say, when Radhiji always laughs when you say, every time I say food is very important, because nothing will move without food. Isn't it? Food without, mind cannot think, buddhi cannot know, pranas cannot function, senses cannot function, perception is not possible, knowing is not possible, discovery is not possible, science is not possible, technology is not possible, and nothing will move. Understand now? Without food, nothing will move, without energy. Therefore, for that food, you know, how many factors are involved, you know, in getting the food? Parjanyadanna sambhavaha. Food, how do you get the food? Parjanyat anna sambhavaha. Because of rains alone, we get the food. Now, without rains, we can get the food. We can have, in India, people try these things nowadays. We have borewells. So what? How deep you have to dig, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, people go digging, putting their borewells. Still they don't get water. Hardly it becomes dry and all that. So you can't rely, even the borewells will be dry if there's no rain. See, rain, waters, rain, cities, rains, okay? Rains alone can make the Mother Earth yield. Without rains, Mother Earth cannot yield. Mother Earth will be what? Sasya Shalini, just she can yield abundant of food, but there must be rains. But for the rains to come, how many factors are involved? You know, whether I discussed this last class. Didn't discuss this? Maybe other class, not here. Here I do, no? You discussed this last class, no? I do the 14th here, no? Okay?
Sometimes you start, you write the verse.
But it explain, okay. I think we did then, but for the class. So here, so the rains have to come, means what? Rains have to come means the clouds must get formed. The clouds had to be formed, there must be, now the law of condensation should work. Isn't it? For which, that law to be effective again what? There must be evaporation. For the evaporation, there must be heat, adequate heat. This sort of heat, what will evaporate? Nothing will come, okay? So there has to be evaporation means what? Heat, we show like Andhra Pradesh heat or no? Bombay heat, London, Delhi heat. Not even Chennai heat is not enough. I'm just okay. The evaporation of water. And then evaporation of water means what? Isn't it? So for the evaporation of water, there must be ocean full of water already. There must be some reservoirs of water. It has to go up and come because water is elsewhere, earth is elsewhere. Who will supply the water? How much to work? Know that. We have water, we have enough water in the world. But how to bring that water, this thing, we don't know. Isn't it? So here it goes like that. So order. Therefore, it is, water must be there. Like this, for this to go up and come is a natural pumping of water. Isn't it? It from here, it goes up and comes naturally. And we have to submersible pump or compressor pump and we have to see the water comes up and comes to us. Isn't it? So here, it is natural. For this to happen, so many factors are involved. So all of them must be functioning properly. Every phenomenon must be functioning properly. Functioning properly, all must be in its own order. Is it proper order? If the heart has to pump the blood properly, means what? It has to be in proper order. Any disorder means the problem. Let every function, wherever there is a function, there must be order. there's disorder, it will be problem. So for all of them, all the phenomena to be in proper order, for the functions to take place properly, so that it will be proper rains for the Mother Earth to be able to yield, isn't it? What happened now? It involves so many factors functioning in the proper order. This is annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhavaha. Only then food. So any of these, any disorder in any of the function of these phenomena, any phenomenon will disturb the order, means there will be drought or untimely rains or floods. In the bargain, there won't be food. There will be untimely rains or floods, or there will be drought, scarcity of water. In the bargain, what will happen? You won't have food. So for you to have abundance of food, for the Mother Earth to contribute adequately or abundantly, not to have poverty, understand now? You need the grace of Bhagavan in the form of so many factors, all the devatas. So, annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. If all the factors, for all the phenomena to work, to be in order, now, then for us to get the food. Not one thing, okay? All of them, you're a healthy person when all of them are functioning properly. You know, only your heart is very good, but lungs have some problem. You can't say that, you know. Lungs must be okay, kidney must be okay, heart must be okay, no function should be. One disorder might cause disorder, another thing also. Understand now? Therefore, also perfectly maintained order is possible if the order is maintained properly of all the devatas. Then you have rains. Once rains is there, you have abundance of food Mother Earth gives you. Therefore, what is that which can help you to have the entire phenomena now remain in proper order? Thereby you can have abundance of rains. Now adequate rains, tie proper rains at right time, you can have abundance of food toward this poverty and things. He says, yajnaha. Understand now, only living a life of karma yoga, a life of worship, or offering this, the act of worship, now this one will help. So, annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. How do you get rains? Yajnat. So, living a life of karma yoga, living a life of worship and offering oblations, isn't it? Yajna means karma yoga actually. So, living a life, dharma governed life, really what? That's only way you can contribute for not violating or not disturbing the order of the other phenomena. See the connection now. Is it clear now? Otherwise you will be violating, you will be disturbing the order. When the order is disturbed, you won't get rains. When the rains are not there, you won't have food. Food is not there, nothing can. There is scarcity of food or poverty, there will be looting, there will be, you know, the theft, and then there will be, you know, everything. All the social disorder mainly. You see where this disorder, social disorder is caused mainly by what? The external, what you say, all these things, killing and then looting and then this rob, no, all these things are because of what? Because of poverty. Isn't it? Even if there's no poverty, still we have a lot of theft and things happening here in this country. Isn't it? Something is. See, in poor country where people are starving, if they go and steal, I can understand. Here everything, people say nobody's starving and all, but still some girls came to them, they lost their computers and then somebody stole and all that. Isn't it? What I'm saying, this any social disorder itself, when there is poverty, No, abundance of prosperity is not there. See, abundance of prosperity is possible not by simply, printing the notes. Okay, only by what? When the Mother Earth should give. Abundance of food is there, that is prosperity. Abundance of food should, for which you need timely rains, adequate quantity of rains, at the right times you should get, for which all the phenomena must be in proper order, for which your contribution must be there for not violating the order. Isn't it now? Non-violence. Understand now? Not violating the dharma is non-violence. Not simply, no? For which you have to live a life of dharma. Live a life of karma yoga. Then he says, parjanya, to one, he directly says, yajnat parjanya bhavati. Yajnat bhavati parjanya. Yajnah karma samudbhavaha. So this living a life of karma yoga, living a life of worship, this act of offering alone gets you what? Rains come because of that. Otherwise, no. It's not directly. You perform ritual, water comes. No, not like that. Yajnah implies there living a life of karma yoga. Is it clear? No, beautiful. This is, isn't it? Eco-friendly life. There is no better eco-friendly life than this. So, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Then, yajnaha, how can you live a life of dharma, a life of worship, without doing karma? Yajnah karma samudbhavaha. The yajna is possible. The offering is possible. The attitude, expression of gratitude is possible. Acting is possible. The worship is possible. The karma attitude has to be lived, isn't it? Dharma has to be. How will you express dharma? Dharma, only living a dharma. Living dharma is only by living dharma, dharma gets expressed, isn't it? As dharma becomes, dharma lived becomes dharma expressed. Dharma practiced. We're talking in the train. Similarly, here so, what is living a life? Karma yoga is what now? That's only way. So, that's why he says, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha, yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. There is no yajna, there is no worship without performing action. There is no worship without living a life of karma yoga. Is it? Without this yajna, living a life of karma yoga, there is no way of non-violence. Okay, not violating the order of the universal order. Universal dharma, isn't it? Then there is no way of getting it. So, it's all interconnected. Don't think simply, as an individual, your part. You are part and parcel of the whole. That is why sukham or dukkham, we are only repaying. Understand now what we have in our account. What we only draw what we have in store. It's an amazing thing. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha yajnah karma samudbhavaha. Now he says, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahma udbhavam vidhi. This karma isn't brahma udbhavam. Brahma here is Veda. Karma brahma udbhavam. Karma brahma udbhavam vidhi. Brahma akshara samudbhavam. See, all these offerings, the attitude involved in karma, the living of karma yoga, the way of life, the performance of rituals, and the act of worship, this offering, all this, where do you understand it from? What is authority for you? Where do you understand how to live one's life as a life of karma yoga? How not to violate the order, this so universal law and order? There, which will see, violating the universal law and order will result in what? The social disorder in the long bargain, isn't it? So it affects the different orders it will affect the economic order, that order, everything will be all interconnected here. Therefore, he says, Yajnaha karma brahma udbhavam. Brahma udbhavam means it is from Veda only. From the Veda, this karma is born. That means what? It's everything is understood there. And Brahma, where did you get Brahma? Brahma akshara samudbhavam. Veda, where did you get Veda? Veda is from Bhagavan himself. I said Brahma. Bhagavan himself. It's a timeless shastra. Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi brahma akshara samudbhavam tasmat therefore sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishthitam. Therefore, where is Brahman now? It's all pervasive. Reality is what now? Yajne pratishthitam. Yajne pratishthitam means what? It's installed, isn't it? It is very much there in based on yajna. So, living a life of yajna, living a life of worship, living a life of karma yoga, which involves the commitment to dharma, ishwar prabuddhihi, ishwar prasada buddhihi, isn't it? All these things and the sensitivity, the acknowledging the contribution of devatas and now contributing without being a non-contributing consumer, also contributing something in return, all these things together what really makes one what? You know, a karma, yogisya yajna, isn't it? For that alone will help one understand what? Prepare the mind for jnanam. Isn't it? Where is the Brahman? Where reality is, everything is Brahman only. But this knowledge is dependent on my mental disposition, and that disposition is dependent on this life of non-violence. Living a life of non-violence means not violating the universal law and order, for which one has to consciously live a life of dharma, ahimsa. Ahimsa means what? It involves all other, following all other values. People think non-violence means just taking a sword or knife and then going and check this goat or thing is violent. People think that's not true. Violating the order itself is what? With small wrong things, immoral things, non-righteous things. No, with small things, we violate dharma. It's also violating. People think we don't need to do big papa karmas. You know that? Big papa karma means not even a manushya. Manushya rupena mrigascharanti. The small things also disturb the order. That is what nitya puja itself are neutralizing the unknowingly done papa karma. You know? Because so much you have to ask for forgiveness because you don't know. All prayaschitta karmas. It's a very, very conscious life, you know. When you have food and shelter and everything, water, and then you do not know how much is, you know. We really do not know. We forget. So let me do the
Bhashan.
Yeah, I want to do the Bhashan actually. Okay. Now Krishna says, after this, the 16th verse, this what is chakram? Okay. Chakram is what? This is how one contributes for the other. Chakram. Evam pravartayati chakram. Dharma chakram. Listen now, even morning I had to talk about dharma chakram. Dharma, wheel of dharma. You know that? Wheel of dharma. Chakram pravartayati. The wheel of the universal law and order. The chakram. Pravartayati like this. Come on, you live a life of... Charity begins at home and people still don't understand. People don't understand that. Hold everything for you and then don't give anything to anybody. Okay? People have all wrong interpretations of dharma. That means don't go on. Charity begins at home means what? You know? Really speaking, you live a life of dharma. Your thought, word and deed are in alignment. You know? Or in identical. There's only way. First effort. If that is not possible, pray, beg and plead Bhagavan to bless you with the clarity to be able to live such a life. That is the first effort. Forget about other things. What is important, no? When somebody, you know, is crying for food, you don't go and talk Vedanta there. Nothing will be useful there. First, immediately shut by giving something like that. What is important here first? You know, if your thought, word and deed are not in alignment, and what will you do? You don't know the importance of dharma. You plead, beg, pray, you know, diligently, fervently pray and see that you make all commitment. No? Oh, I want to live a dharma. I know the value of dharma. I am not a dharma. Then see that you first seek grace for Bhagavan to be able to live such a life. Because that is the only way the life of karma yoga becomes lived properly. Because dharma, minus dharma, where is karma yoga? Where is karma? With minus, without being ethical, there is no righteous, no? Without being righteous, without being ethical, where is yoga? Isn't it? That's what dharma governed life is karma yoga. It's not simply an ethical life also. It is more than that because it involves Ishvara. There was an attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan and water comes as prasada. That attitude, isn't it? Every step, not mechanically accepting everything out of helplessness. No, I'm helpless. What can I do? I'll accept it. Not with such an attitude, isn't it? I'm accepting it with sameness of mind. See, whether you accept it, what else can you do? You accept it, okay? You may complaining, you accept it. Without complaining, you're so numb means what? No? You can complain, you accept it. But he acceptance implies, no, with reverence. Accepting something gracefully is different from accepting something helplessly. Understand? So graceful acceptance of everything with sameness of mind, samatva, you know, this yoga has told you, that implies what now? Prasada buddhi must be there for that. And prasada buddhi is possible only if you can really look at everything is no Lord ordained, and for which you should know it is the natural law and order which ordains all the situations. That means I have no say over anything. You know, sometimes things are unpredictable. Sometimes even if they are unpredictable, also they are not preventable. They can't be prevented, isn't it? Therefore, I have no say over them. Therefore, this understanding of the Lord ordained, that attitude, isn't it? You accept it as prasada buddhihi, then that is karma yoga. That is the only way you can, what? You can live in harmony with the order. That is the only way you can contribute for not violating and not rubbing against the order. It's the only way when the everything is in order, proper order, then how can rains fail? Rains fail means what? Rains will definitely be contributive rains, not destructive, damaging rains. No? Rains come sometimes. Destructive, damaging. Tsunami. Isn't it? Not rains. Something happens. Or floods everywhere. All the crops, not like that, not destructive, not damaging, not perishing, isn't it? All contributive, which will contribute for the prosperity of the society, isn't it? Such rains means what? Anugraha. Okay, floods come, everything goes what? Nigraha. The Bhagavan is called what? Anugraha karta, nigraha karta, karma phala data. Karmaphala data is who? Anugraha karta, nigraha karta. Punisher as well as blesser. One who blesses is Bhagavan, one who punishes also is Bhagavan. In what form Bhagavan comes? Isn't it? No, Bhagavan is above law and order. Bhagavan himself cannot change what he wants to do because Bhagavan is the very order. Karmaphala data, means what? The law and order. The dharma violated violates means what? No? How? That is why karma yoga. Then he also what? Not simply karma yoga. You make it more yajna, worship. Why? The attitude of offering. All that life is for, ultimately for discovering Bhagavan, the fullness means, it becomes offering. That makes it what? Worship. Apart from that, you also express your gratitude. More than that, you also express, give something in return. Expressing your gratitude, acknowledging the contribution, then it will become a little more yajna again. Isn't that yajna? There's a complete dedication, sacrifice there. So that is what is dedication actually. Sacrament, dedication actually. If nothing is mine, everything is yours. I'm just enjoying what you have given. Thank you, oh Lord. Amazing. Nothing is mine, it's a dedication. Understand now? If you own up, it is not dedication. Everything is, what is yours here? Everything is given. Thank you very much for that. Okay, how do you express that? Give a little bit. To the act of offering. To the worship. That is yajna. Understand the difference now? Karma yoga itself is yajna, worship. But in yajna, there is no yajna without living life of karma yoga. There is no worship without living life of karma yoga. The worship without living life of karma yoga was now just the karma. Is it clear now? A worship offering without living life karma yoga is just the karma. Understand now? Even if you don't worship also, living life karma yoga itself is what? Worship. But worship, living life karma yoga means what? Yajna. Is it clear now? Yajna. That is how, this is the only way you are living in tune with the order. Because I live a life of dharma with my commitment as a conscious being, as a contributor, as a non-violator of the order. Understand? For which I don't need to go to the slums washing the poor children's, no? Cleaning up and giving, doing service. Let me live a consciously righteous, ethical life first. Okay, I'm not saying you should not do service, okay? This extra, that's also service also is what now? Yajna only. Any extra, reaching out activities are all very good. One has to do reaching out activities, isn't it? You have enough, you are living a life of dharma, and you have enough, you have more than enough, or you have enough, you share what you have through the act of offering to Bhagavan, or through the act of offering, reaching out to the needy to the extent possible, looking at them as Bhagavan. Understand now? There's also what now? That also becomes worship, yajna and karma yoga, if a life of dharma is lived. Is it clear now? Therefore, this is the only way, this is how the order works. You live a life of dharma, then you don't violate the order. When dharma is not violated, order is not dropped, then order is maintained, then they also what now? They propitiate you in return. So what happens now? You get timely rains, adequate amount of rains, then once you have abundance of food is there, and then prosperity is there, everything is, social order is maintained. It's not only your artha karmas are fulfilled adequately, you adequately will be what? Relatively will be peaceful and happy also, you will have the disposition of the mind required for jnanam and moksha. Have you seen the order now? This is what chakram pravartai. Chakra pravartanam. Pravartanam means what? This is how the dharma chakram moves. Understand? If this dharma chakra is what? If there is any violation, then it will show. Evam chakram pravartayati. Na anuvartayati yaha. Yaha na anuva. Evam pravartitam chakram. Yaha na anuvartayati. This is how the order is. One who does not follow this order means what? One who does not live in conformity with this, in conformity, in tune with this universal order. One who rubs this order. Saha aghayuhu. His life becomes what? Aghayuhu means what? Whole lives would be life of sins. Aghayuhu. Indriya Ramaha. All his, he is a person of sensory pleasures. Indriya Ramaha. Aghayuhu. Mogam jivati he partha. He lives waste. His life is a waste. No way. He does not accomplish anything. He cannot accomplish anything really, relatively. Even if he accomplishes anything relatively, he cannot accomplish what? Anything absolutely. Not only that, the present life will add for his future punishment also. Therefore, this whole life, you would live this life to earn for the future pain, okay? Knowingly. That is why aghayuhu. Indriya Ramaha Mogam Jivati. Saha Mogam Jivati. He Partha Saha Mogam Jivati. Know that.
Evam Pravartitam Chakram Nanuvartayatihayah Aghayurindriya Ramo Mogham Partha Sajivati.
Okay, let me read the Bhashyam here, from here. Okay. Annath. Say now.
Annath.
Bhuktath.
Lohita.
Retaf.
Parinatath.
Pratyaksham Bhavanti. Jayante. Bhutani. See. Annath Bhuktath. When you say Annath means... Anna is a panchami, isn't it? From the food. From the food means which food? When you say Bhutani Jayante, now all the beings are born of food. When they say, from which food? He says Bhuktat. Bhuktam means what? Eaten food. Not from the food which is not yet eaten, but from the food which is already eaten. Not simply eaten, digested, which has become blood, okay, which has become the energy of parental, isn't it? The food energy, the parental energy is what now? Parental energy is food energy. You are, what is this physical body? This physical body, nothing but born of what? Modified form of the energy of the parents, which is born of what? The modified form of the food essence. Isn't it? Bhukta. Bhuktam is a participle. Bhukta, like bunj dhatuhu. Bhukta is the participle. Eaten. Bhuktat. Annat means what? Bhuktat annat, isn't it? From the food which has been consumed, eaten, digested, which has become blood and energy, from that lohita retaf parinatat. Retas means, when you say the sperm of the, the sperm and ovum, which are nothing but what? He says lohita. Lohita, lohita means actually, thing fresh and all that. Na reta parinatat. Parinata means what? Modified, evolved. Parinata means evolved. Parinamaha evolution. Parinamate evolves. Parinamaha evolution. Parinata evolved. Participle. Isn't it? So, parinatat. The evolved, changed, modified form of retas, which is born of the food eaten by the parents. Is it clear now? So, annath, for that one, Shankara gives what? Bhuktat, lohita retaf parinatat, then what happens? That Lohitaretas, you can't see that body there, isn't it? Jvutam, you can't see. That Parinatam, that evolved, modified, changed, grown, full-fledged born is what now? Pratyaksham bhavanti. Then they become what? Pratyaksham. They can directly perceivable bodies. What the annam is what? The buktam annam, which is imperceptible. Which is no more what? Annam is perceptible. Buktam annam becomes imperceptible. It becomes part of the perceptible again what? No more father and father. Understand? Again, their energy is what? Imperceptible. Their retis is what? Imperceptible. And that retis, you know, again what now? The, you know, the combination of these parental things. Now, they parinam. They become parinamante. They become evolved, modified, and then all that. At last, they become pratyaksham bhavanti. They become perceptible directly. What are they? They are the beings. Understand now? Bhuktat annat jayante bhutani. Because all the living beings are born of the food basically. Isn't it? Okay. Bhavanti. Then he says, parjanyat. Say no?
Parjanyat.
Vrishtehe.
Vrishtehe.
See, parjanyaha, he says, another word for vrishtihi. Vrishtihi is a feminine gender word for rains. Vrishtihi. Vrishtihi means rains. Parjanyaha also means rains. So, Shankaracharya has to give the meaning of the word parjanyaha. What is parjanyaha? Vrishtihi. Parjanyat is what? Panchami, fifth case. So what is vrishtihi panchami? Vrishtehe. From the rains, because of rains, by the rains. Why? Rains become nimittam, hetu. For what? Whenever hetu arte panchami, isn't it? When hetu cause comes, what is the cause? Because of which you get annam. Isn't it? Bhutani anna jayante, that's clear. So, parjanyat anna sambhava has to say. So, vrishtehe annasya sambhavaha. Anna sambhavaha. Isn't it? So, the production of food is because of the rains. Is it? Sambhavaha. How do you get the food otherwise? So, he doesn't explain all those things. Okay, we have to include the chakram. We have to talk about the chakram. Food is vegetation, vegetarian. Food is always vegetarian. I think I told you this last class. Now I remember. Isn't it? Food is vegetarian. That was Swamiji's explanation. Even if you eat non-vegetarian food, food is always vegetarian. There's anna, aushadam, oshadibhyaha jatam annam. Isn't it? There's no non-vegetarian food at all. Even if people eat non-vegetarian food, because the non-vegetarian, they what it eat, those beings whose meat or flesh is eaten, they all eat what? Grass. Okay? Therefore what? Basically, modified from a vegetarian food is what? Non-vegetarian food. Okay? That's why you are so much dependent, even your cows and chicken, and they won't survive if there's no vegetation, isn't it? That's why annat bhutani, don't think we don't want cauliflower and broccoli, we will go for something non-vegetarian, but we don't care for this Mother Earth's contribution. Don't say that. Even those beings cannot survive without the rain's contribution. Understand? He Bhagavan wants us really. Anyway, so life is impossible without living in tune with the order. So, parjanyat, that's what living a sensitive, intelligent life, you know. So, parjanyat anna sambhavaha, and he says, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Parjanyaha, rains come when, because of yajna. Because of yajna, from yajna means what? Because of yajna, hetvarte panchami. What is it the cause because of which this happens? Parjanyahana Yajnat. Yajna means people simply think you perform a fire ritual, that is Yajna. Of course, performance of fire ritual is Yajna, no doubt, because it is a worship, the symbolic act of offering, through which you express your gratitude to the Bhagavan in the name of all the phenomena, which, you know, acknowledging their abundant contribution for your well-being, no doubt, it is a Yajna, isn't it? But still, living a life of Karma Yoga, I don't want to explain again Karma Yoga, is very important, isn't it? Therefore, he says here, Parjanyaha Yajnat Pabhavati Parjanyaha means what? Agnau, say no?
Agnau.
Prastahutihi.
Prastahutihi.
Samyak.
Samyakya.
Adityam.
Adityam.
Upatishthate.
Upatishthate.
See, Agnau, he explains the fire ritual here. He explains, Shankara mentions one line wherein he talks about what? The act of offering into the fire. See, any yajna, the yajna, the act of worship, no, act of worship, the yajna, isn't it? You, for which what, for that what do? You kindle a fire, then offer oblations. So into the fire, offering of ahutis, oblations into the fire, agnau. In the fire, agnau is locative case, isn't it? Agnau, in the fire, into the fire, prastha ahutihi. Prastha ahutihi means what? Offered oblations, given oblations, put oblations, the oblations have been put into the fire. How? Samyak. Okay, samyak means what? Not carelessly, properly. Properly offered oblations into the samyak means well. Samichinam is good. Samyak is well, adverb. Well offered, properly offered, correctly offered, rightly done. Understand now? Oblations. How you can offer? With the right attitude, with the reverence, with the humility, to express your gratitude when offered. Adityam upatishthate. Adityam upatishthate. Who is Adityaha? Bhagavan Suryaha. Today is, no? Today is what day? Saturday, okay. Today I already forgot. Sunday, tomorrow is Sunday. Aditya, every Sunday I feel very good about now because I used to have class and what. So, Adityam upatishthate. The offer, they reach Aditya. Understand? So, Yajnaha here, it's not simply the performance of ritual. Of course, our performance of ritual is worship. That worship also what? Properly done. Also what? Living a life of Karma Yoga. You have to understand that also. Add here. Samyak Aditya Upatishtate. Then what happens once Aditya is pleased? It reaches Aditya. It goes to Aditya. Upatishtati. Tishtate means what? It becomes offered to Aditya. Upatishtate means it reaches. It goes to him. Then what happens? Adityat jayate vrishtihi. Express now. Adityat jayate vrishtihi. From the sun alone, not from the sun. Because Hetvarte Panchami again. Adityat means what? From the sun. Directly sun only gives heat. Okay. Imagine if you could get water directly from the sun. No, because of the sun. Hetvarte Panchami. Understand now? Because of the sun alone, we get the rains. Do we need explanation here? Reference physics. Okay, evaporation, condensation, all those things, and then we get the water. Hetu arthe panchami, karanarthe panchami. See, panchami means from also. Suppose Purushottamat pustakam svikaromi, if I say, hey, what happens now? I take it from him. That there's no hetu artha, there's no cause. I take the book from him means what? From him I'm taking it. That's all. Fifth case I use, dative, the ablative case I'm using in the sentence. But Purushottamat Santosha Bhavati. Because of Purushottama's presence, I'm happy means what? What is that hetu? Cause for my santosha. Hetvarte panchami means what? Panchami vibhakti is used, the ablative case is used to mean what? From him on one meaning, sometimes when the cause is mentioned for some, hetu means cause, nimittam, karanam. Now, because of this person, this happens. When you say, hey, that person becomes what? Na? Hetu. So, adityat vrishtihi means what? Aditya becomes the nimittam for the water. See how, you because you have pleased Aditya, you pleased the sun, how do you please him? Nothing can please Aditya. You have tapped the grace of Bhagavan in the form of the sun when he shows brightly. Understand now? The proper functioning, the global warming is not really, Aditya is not very happy, he is very displeased. That is why warming, global warming. Understand now? It's clear now, Aditya has to be pleased, pacified. How can you pacify? We need to have his grace. How can we have his grace? By making him function in proper order. We don't disturb his order. Somewhere, no, he is properly in his place. Somewhere something goes, irritates his well-being, irritates his being. Some order is disturbed. Why? Because water papa karma is done here. That disturbs the order. You know that? That is why always as Swamiji gives a beautiful example. Now, see, when there is a stillness of water, even a small stone you throw into the water, there is a quiet water. And so now, that one stone goes and falls, you know, then what? The water will spill. Not that it will spill and come out as a spark, it will cause what? That one drop of water moving from that place disturbs the stillness, then ripples will form. No? And the ripples form, one ripple, other ripple goes, causes many ripples. One causes the other ripple, other ripple causes the other ripple. Many ripples become formed. How? Why does the one ripple, first ripple come? The last ripple is because of the first ripple. In between there are so many ripples. Understand now? One causes the order, the last ripple, when will it stop and come back? Then disturbed. Whole disturbance, whole lake is disturbed now. Stillness is disturbed. When will it stop and come back to the order again, the disorder, the last one will have to go and lash this shore, lash upon the shore and come back and have a big chaos. Come. Understand? Any order disturbed, and the disturbed order to come back to order, it takes time. Is it here now? That is when we suffer. It's all global warming now is what now? The balancing and the coming back to the proper order, that's why. That is why we see all these earthquakes and then tsunami and all those things. As long we don't know when we will become victims of problems. Time being, Ham Punyam is protecting us somewhere. Understand? Anyway, so here what he says is, Adityat Jayate Vrishtihi. My God, such one sentence implies Chakram. The universal law and order has to be maintained, for which one has to live a life in conformity with the order, in tune with the order. For which one has to live a life of dharma, one has to perform, you know, one has to live a life of yajna, worship. Otherwise, will be violating the dharma. When you violate the dharma, you will only evoke Bhagavan's anger, not grace. You can't invoke grace, you will evoke anger. And that will be shown in the form of other problems we face in life, drought, etc. Okay. So here, therefore what? Adityat Jayate Vrishtihi. Is it clear now? Okay, then Sri Shankara, so he doesn't want to talk too much about condensation, evaporation, all this thing. He just says, come on, ayatyat jayate vrishtihi hetvarte panchami, you have to understand. He is so brief. Look at this. I don't think there was a big physics teacher sitting and teaching physics. Studying physics also, we might be much subtler, no? My God, look at this. There is no evaporation possible, no condensation possible, no formation of clouds possible, no rain is possible. We don't understand. Study of physics should make our mind Buddhist subtle. The more we should be try to live and spew in the order. Isn't it? Look at what an amazing sensitive mind this is to see this much. Isn't Vaidika's Buddhi amazing Buddhi? I mean, Vaidika means one who follows Veda. Okay. One who writes Veda also and lives Veda also. So, he says, Adityata jayate vrishtihi, vrishtehe annam. From the water, once you get adequate amount of water, the right time, then what do you have? Annam. Abundance of food. Understand, for us food is Lakshmi. Food is Lakshmi, no? In India, for us, we won't even walk on paddy, know that? No. Paddy rice, no, we won't put our legs there. Even in this paddy fields, they put the paddy, etc. Now people will do namaskaram. For us, paddy is Lakshmi, turmeric is Lakshmi, plantain is Lakshmi. Everything is Lakshmi. All the food we grow in our farms, fields, Lakshmi. Prosperity. Mahalakshmi, Dhanya Lakshmi, Dhana Lakshmi. We say that Dhanam is Lakshmi for us. Bhagavan's grace in the form of food. That's why we don't annam na nindyat, annam na nindyat. Annam bahukurvita, says Upanishad. You have a lot of food. That is only thing everybody should eat well and say, enough, I don't want, then who will go and steal and rob and kill? Understand? So, it's amazing. So, vrishtehe annam. From annam what? Prajaha. Tataha prajaha. That is why beings. From that annam only what? Beings. Don't say because of annam here. From the annam. Here not hetvarte. Understand? No. From the annam only? Prajaha. Vrishtehe annam, tataha, from the annam, prajaha. Iti smritehe. This is, who explains this? Smriti. So, Shankara quotes smriti. Manusmriti, okay? Thereafter, so don't ignore all the manusmritis. People try to ignore the manusmriti all sometimes. That's not true, you know. Smriti is completely in conformity with the smriti is something which repeats, represents the subject matter of the shastram without diluting and actually distorting it. You know, that is smriti is also for us reviate shastram. Okay. Yajnaha apurvam. Apuram is what? That which was not before. Isn't it? Apuram. Puram means which was before. Apuram means what? That which doesn't have Puram. Which has no poor beginning. Apuram, beginningless, eternal. Such a yajnaha. Karma samudbhavaha.
Karma samudbhavaha.
Okay. So, yajna, there's no yajna without karma. Isn't it? Karma samudbhavaha means, yajna is always born of what? Karma. Yajna being born means what? Yajna is expressed through the performance of ritual or through living a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? He says, ritvija, yajamana yoscha. Vyaparaha. Karma. Vyaparaha means what? Activity. Don't say business, okay? Our English business word, I don't like the word business, okay? So, vyaparaha means what? Hey, karma. The activity, action. Whose action? Yajamanayoho. Yajamanaha means the performer, okay? Ritvik also means what? Ritvik is the performer of a given ritual is called Ritvik. Okay? Their karma is what? Yajna. A performance of ritual is the activity performed by a karma, performed by Yajamana, the worshipper and the Ritvik. Karma tataha samudbhavaha. What? Yajna. Okay? Yasya, yajnasya, apurvasya, saha yajnaha, karma samudbhavaha. So, this apuram, we can say punyam. Apuram, you can also say what? Now, this is the order which has been there. You know, that's also what now. This is not something which has been created newly. This yajna, the attitude involved in this act of worship, isn't it? That's something which is created newly. And he's going to express the next sentence. Tacha evam vidham karma. Kutaha jatam. Immediately lost. Come on, this yajna. This yajna. What is this yajna? Apuram, you say, isn't it? Apuram means which has been there beginninglessly. This performance of ritual as a worship, this act of offering, you know, symbolic act of offering with that proper attitude and as worship. This act, revealing one's gratefulness to Bhagavan. Now, acknowledging the contribution, etc. This yajna concept, the significance of worship. Now, this concept itself is apuram. It is not created by somebody. Don't say somebody came and somebody created this. Always people create so many things. Some habits, now customs have some time. Okay, before this period, Vedic period was not there. All this period was not there. We have some things which came into existence in practice after certain times. But yajna apurvaha. Apurva means what? It has been there. This living a life of karma yoga, living a life of dharma without violating the dharma, living a life in tune with the harmony with the order, this has been there. And this act of offering has been already there. It has been not new. Isn't it? So what is that? You know, the question comes, tacha evam vidham karma, this type of karma. Which type of karma? This karma yoga, this yajna, etc. Kindling a fire, offering oblations, act of worship, symbolic act of offering. This is worship and through which you please the devatas. You propitiate devatas and be propitiated by the devatas in return. What this idea? I really can't, a gross mind cannot see the connection. This act of offering, what is the mechanism involved here? How is it something offered into the fire? Thinking of some devata goes and reaches, how does it work? It is not that what is we are offering. It is not that offering. It is the attitude with which you offer. It is expression of what that matters. The gratitude you have towards the devatas. That nothing is yours. You are given. Everything is given to you. That understanding, expression, that understanding is such a great thing. You know that? Isn't it? Because nothing is yours. You are only grabbing everything once you know that you are so grateful. You are humble. And you want to express something. You are a very sensitive person, isn't it? Then you are acknowledging the contribution. That is a big thing. That attitude with which you do. Now the significance of the action, that makes the yajna a yajna. Otherwise throwing something into the fire. We don't see you also throwing. Understand now? You also put, no, sometimes people set fire and put all the unwanted things and burn in the villages. You know that? Can you call it yajna? It is great reverence with the humility, respect, now respectfully, with reverence, humility, gratefully you offer, isn't it? Now, eyes glowing with showing a gratitude is what? That is yajna. So many people know when they really were so, you know, sort of people may think it's an emotional thing. Really speaking, in this sensitive, being emotional sensitivity, in the right sense, intelligently, then you can see sometimes the finished yajna, you can see some rains coming. People are always, oh, Bhagavan has blessed you. They take it as a good sign. Suppose suddenly it rains come, not big rains, some drizzling will be there. In India, very hot, you don't imagine, no cloud, nothing. Suddenly you have some few drizzle, drizzle. After the yajna is over, oh, Bhagavan has blessed. People will take it as a good sign. Simple, innocent people, I'm saying. But, after the puja, if it rains, immediately we think, oh, our prayers have been accepted. It's all attitude, isn't it? Anyway, others can't see. This is completely a mind, isn't it? And the mind, sensitive, very subtle mind. Okay. It's not a dull gross mind. To see that, you need different mind. So, evam vidham karma, kutaha jatam, this yajna concept, no? Where has it come from? Kutaha jatam, where is it born? Where was it born? Isn't it? Kutaha means from where. He says, okay. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. We already have seen what? He is going to say that. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi.
Karma brahmodbhavam
vidhi. Brahmaksharasamudbhavam. Brahmaksharasamudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma. Sarvagatam brahma. Nityam yajne pratishthitam.
Nityam yajne pratishthitam.
Okay, karma. Say no?
Karma.
Brahmodbhavam.
Brahmodbhavam.
Karma brahma udbhavam. It's a Bhagavad Gita original text verse. It says brahma. Say no?
Brahma.
Brahma, not param brahma, reality always brahman. Isn't it? Brahma, the creator, but here Brahma means Vedaha. Brahma means what? Vedaha. Shankaracharya gives Brahma is equal to what? Vedaha. Why Veda is also known by the word Brahma? It has come from Brahman. Veda has come from the reality, Bhagavan. Therefore, it's called Brahma. And Veda serves the means of knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, what? It is Brahma. Is it clear now? Brahma. Saha.
Saha.
Okay. Udbhavaha.
Udbhavaha.
Karanam.
Karanam.
Vedaha. Vedaha. He says now. Karma brahma udbhava means karma is what? Karma is from where do you get this under the significance of this yajna? Isn't it? It is Veda. So, what is source? Veda. Prakashakaha.
Prakashakaha.
Karanam, no, the Prakashakaha, yasya. Who reveals this yajna? Is it? Who teach, help, tells you, come on, this, do this yajna, please this devata, get these things done, etc. Isn't it? Who? The significance of worship, the act of offering, the performance of ritual, and know-how of rituals, and the know-how of the benefit of performing rituals, knowledge required for performing rituals, everything, where do you get? Veda. No? He says here. సహ ఉద్భవ కారణం ప్రకాశక తత్కర్మ బ్రహ్మ ఉద్భవం. సో ఉద్భవ కారణం ప్రకాశయతి. అండర్స్టాండ్ నౌ? ఇట్ రివీల్స్ వాట్ యజ్ఞ ఇస్ ఆల్ అబౌట్. దెర్ఫోర్ బ్రహ్మ ఉద్భవం, బికాస్ వేద అలోన్ రివీల్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ రివీల్స్ what yajna is, therefore what it is born of Veda. What is yajna, significance of worship, where will you understand otherwise? For us, we ask me, how do I know what is significance of Veda, worship? What is worship? What is worship? Is it simply bowing to Bhagavan? Offering means giving Bhagavan. What does it mean? It involves attitude, isn't it? It involves the thoughts also, isn't it? Where do we get this idea? Not idea, this vision. Who gives the vision of the significance of worship? No, only Veda. That's why Brahma Udbhavam Vidhi. Say no?
Vidhi.
Vijanihi.
Vijanihi.
Vidhi means what? May you know. It's a with dhatu. Okay, with is a dhatu. And the verb is Veti. Veti means knows. Gachati, patati, like that. Veti knows. Janati. Vijanati, janati, veti. The verb. Vedanam is a knowing, knowledge. Vidya is also knowledge. Vidya, knowledge, learning, studying. Vidya, Vedanam is knowing, gerund. That imperative is what? With plus he. Affix word Vidhi, may you know, isn't it? Because some sandhi takes place, so with becomes he, with plus he becomes with id, then it becomes Vidhi, may you know. You know all the grammar. What is the equivalent verb, other verb? Vijanihi, may you know that. Krishna tells Arjuna, Brahma,
Brahma
punaha,
punaha
Vedakhyam.
Vedakhyam
punaha, what now? Again the word Brahma comes next line also. Punaha again what? Veda akhyam. The Brahma known as Veda, known what now? Veda known as Brahman is what? Veda only. Veda akhyam Brahma. Veda akhyam Brahma. Brahma which is known by the word what? Veda. Brahma, Veda akhyam, akshara samudbhavam. Akshara samudbhavam. Don't ask where has Veda come from. Don't take Veda for granted. Isn't it? Akshara samudbhavam. What aksharam? Param Brahma, Paramatma, the imperishable, eternal, only, secondless, non-dual reality is what? Aksharam Brahma. From that reality alone, Paramatma Samudbhavaha. Okay, this Veda has come from where? From Bhagavan. From Bhagavan means what? We should know. From Bhagavan means Bhagavan never came and in the form of with the mouth, come on. This is what my mandate. Take it. Follow this. If you don't follow this, we will undo it. He didn't say that. Understand? Veda Param Brahma is the pure knowledge, source of knowledge. From where this body of knowledge has manifest. Manifest means what? Got revealed. Is it clear now? Got revealed. There's a big difference in saying. It's a word of God. When you say, everybody says everything is a word of God only. It's my word of, my word of, no, it's a word from my God. That is a word from everybody says is their book is what? It's word of God. But which God? He was born on such and such a date. He came in this form and he gave this and prepared also what? This is how it should be. It should be what? Everywhere spread. The word of God should be spread in this way. Understand? No. It is not a human. That is why it is not even a product of human intellect. I'm not talking about Bhagavad Gita. I'm talking about the Veda. Okay? It's not a product of human intellect. You have to remember that. Apaurusheyam. Veda is apaurusheyam. Apaurusheyam means what? It is not a human intellect's product. That means what? It is not one who has to squeeze one's buddhi. Then out of it, one gets something is what? It is part of human intellect. Isn't it? Like churning a buddhi, you get it, it's a queen, it's a product. It is like any scientist discovers anything like that. But here we say it is source of knowledge, the pure knowledge, the all knowledge, the source of knowledge from where it got revealed to the highly contemplative minded rishis. Understand? There's a big difference in saying that. That is why we say they don't, the rishis don't claim, come on, I only wrote the book, okay? That is where, see, amazing vision, the rishis, when they say it's from Bhagavan, that itself, you know, any scientist, after discovering, I discovered it, he can say. I created it, he cannot say. You know, Einstein cannot say, I created E is equal to MC squared, okay? He can only say what? I discovered it. I created, he cannot say. Created means what? I made it. That means man, isn't it? That's the big difference. Do you see the difference? What I'm saying? Because this is... Anyway, I had to do Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashyam to make you understand his eternity, the perennial eternity of Vedas. When we should do that? Okay. Bhagavan has to bless us. Anyway, this is more than enough for them to in this context. So... Aksharam Brahma Paramatma Samudbhavaha Yasya Tat Akshara Samudbhavam. Okay, from Bhagavan has come Brahma. I have to explain the meaning. It has come from Paramatma. Understand? As I told you, it is not that Bhagavan did not come in a human form and give it to anybody. It got revealed from the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge. All knowledge is already there. No knowledge is created, isn't it? The knowledge got revealed to the rishis. That is why they also say we got it from Bhagavan. Only they say, they don't say what? We wrote it. Definitely they never mention their names also. That is the problem. We don't even know who wrote it, when they wrote it. That is why no, it's a timeless shastra. I mean, that's why rishi is a very different word. Okay. Okay. So, Brahma Vedaha.
Brahma
is equal to Vedaha. Vedaha. Ityartaha. Brahma is equal to what here? Vedaha. In this context, not everywhere, okay? Here, Vedaha. Already he said Brahma means already he said Vedaha. Again he explains that Brahma is Vedaha. Vedaha means what? Vedaha also has come from the root with to know. Veti knows. Vedaha knowledge. Vidya knowledge. Vedaha masculine gender word. Vidya feminine gender word. That's all. Vedanam jarand. Knowing. Isn't it? So it Yasmat, Sakshat, Paramatma Akhyat, Aksharat, Purushat, Vishwasavat. Sorry, Nishwasavate. I'm sorry, Nishwasavate. Samudbhutam Brahma. See, he says Brahma Vedaha. Isn't it? He says Sakshat, Yasmat, Sakshat, Paramatma Akhyat. isn't it? Does that directly from Bhagavan. Directly from Bhagavan when you say, you should know who our Bhagavan is. Isn't it? We say he came within the legs and forms, no? He came in this form and he gave it to us means not Paramatma. Understand now? Samanya Atma. Paramatma when you say is absolute self, the pure consciousness. Isn't it? From there alone, this vision, this knowledge got revealed. Understand now? To certain minds. What is the mind? That we'll see the different later on. Aksharat.
Aksharat.
Purushat.
Purushat.
Nishvasavat.
Nishvasavat.
That means what? Something, imagine somebody has to write such a big thing, how long it have taken to think you need buddhi, and to write it you need buddhi, and to again without having pen and paper, nothing, remember everything and giving it to somebody again, it is not, already we lose so many manuscripts, isn't it? What it's not an easy joke, write all the Vedas and then give it to people, no? Everything is in the buddhi, in a whole knowledge is in the form of thoughts. That is why it's still even today Sanatana Dharma. Okay, people came, all the Vaidikas were destroyed, killed and all of them, but still knowledge sustained. No way, minds came with knowledge, came back with knowledge. Books can be burnt, manuscripts can be destroyed, thoughts cannot be destroyed. Understand? Storehouse is what? Storehouse of knowledge is what now? Thoughts. The knowledge which got revealed to the certain disposition of people of certain disposition, no? Certain in the minds, they got, where were the knowledge? Where was the knowledge? All thoughts only. They didn't have anything to do. Through communication, they sent everything from this buddhi to other buddhi. You know, like that this past. This is Karna Parampara, we call it. Now, Karna Parampara means what? Only through years it has been coming down. Preserved how? In the form of thought. Preservation. That is why Mastake, Lekhanam, Patu Pustake. Understand now? Everything preserving, retaining, understanding. Look at this. Receiving, retaining, understanding. That's what they call Medha Shakti. Understand, then remember, then retain, then ascertain. Where will it go? Even if you give, it will be still there. Given also doesn't get, what now, doesn't be, get, isn't it? Doesn't become lost. That's why Medha Shakti, what amount of Medha, okay? Without write, without having pen, I wish we all have such a buddhi. Without having pen and paper, just listen. Now understand. And keep everything, remember everything with forgetting and retain and also what? Ascertain. What a sharp buddhi one should have. Isn't it? This has been coming down, this vision Vidya to us like this. That is why we would say here, this way. How does it come? One, it is there in the buddhi. Isn't it? Nishvasavata. Nishvasa means what? Exhalation, inhalation of breath. Like, Shvasaha means breath. Nishvasaha means both the function of respiration. What effort does it involve for you to breathe in and breathe out if you have proper lungs? Isn't it? If you have some suffocated lungs, some problem is there, that's different. That is when you find it very difficult, isn't it? Healthy person, you don't even know that you are breathing. Isn't it so effortless? Like Nishvasavate, what means what? Similar to that, okay? Like that. Similar to that, what is Vedas came? Kutaha aksharat purushat paramatma akhyat sakshat paramatma akhyat aksharat vaya aksharat. Paramatma means you should not mistake it. That's why Bhagavan, he makes it very clear. Aksharat purushat. Who is Akshara Purusha? Imperishable reality. The person, isn't it? The only entity, if at all you count, Paramatma only. So, from that, Samudbhutam, It came into being. It's nice to read this after understand the meaning. Don't you think so? Brahma. Okay. Nishwasavat samudbhutam Brahma. Veda just came into being from Bhagavan like what? Just now as effortlessly as one's breath. Tasmat sarva artha prakashakatvat sarvagatam. See, sarvagatam means all pervasive. Sarvatra gachati iti sarvagatam. All pervasive. But here Shankara says, because it talks about the Veda, Veda Purusha, isn't it? Veda, Sarva Prakashakatvat. Prakashakam means what? Revealing. Isn't it? Throwing light is Prakashanam. Prakashakam means that which throws light on everything. Everything means what? What is the Devata? What is the phenomenon? What mantras can be chanted? How they can, the grace can be invoked, how ritual can be performed, what can be offered, how it should be offered, how much time should be offered, how it should be done, the know-how of rituals. Not only really just the ritual, also what? The significance, how devatas are placed. Not only this, living a life of karma yoga. I tell you, the living importance of living a dharma governed life, an ethical life, a righteous life, not life with proper attitude, doing things with isharpana buddhihi, accepting things with ishara prasada buddhihi, understanding the limitations on the impermanence of this, now all the paths of opposites in life, all these things, who reveals? They're all facts. We know, but we have to be reminded. And what we know has to be brought to light sometimes. Sometimes they reveal what we do not know. Understand? I say what? Sarva prakashakatvat. Say now?
Sarva prakashakatvat.
It reveals everything. Sarvagatam.
Sarvagatam.
Sarvagatam api.
Sarvagatam api.
Sat.
Sat.
Being sarvagatam, being all revealing also, is whether what? Nityam. See, no?
Nityam.
See, what all the qualities we have for, you know, what are all the attributes of Brahman, no? This Swarupam of Brahman, not even attribute actually. Attributelessness is Brahman, isn't it? Reality. We know that here, all the Swarupam of Brahman is what? Nityam, eternal. See, here Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada here mentions it, the perennial eternity of the Veda. Veda is perennially eternal. How? I'll tell you, wait 1 second. So, Satnityam. Sarvagatam api. It not only it reveals everything. Okay? You should know how to understand it. If we do not know, that is why we need a teacher who knows Sampradaya to understand correctly. Understand? Sarvagatam api sat nityam. Nityam means perennially eternal. Brahman, see, Paramatma is absolutely eternal. When you talk about this Veda, you say perennially eternal. I'll tell you that. Sada,
sada,
yajna,
yajna,
vidhi,
vidhi,
pradhanatvat,
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 yajna vidhi pradhanatvat, yajna pratishthitam,
pratishthitam.
Okay. So this all the rules and regulations, all the know which go with the know-how of rituals, no, they're all revealed where? In the eternal, no, timeless Shastram. Therefore, what now? This, we say, even this, the Sarvam Nityam Yajne Pratishthitam. Isn't it? Everything is what now? Everything is? everything is based in Veda, and everything is based ultimately in what now? Yajna, a living a life of worship, which implies living a life of karma yoga. It is not mechanically performing a ritual or offering something. It mainly implies living a life of a dharma governed life of karma yoga, entertaining proper attitude, the proper outlook with the proper perspective. Is it clear now? Nityam yajne pratishtitam. So where is Veda? Isn't it? So because only in living a life of dharma, living a life of worship, that is only way Veda lives. You know that? And Veda is perennially eternal. When you say Veda never dies, why it does not die? Veda is a body of knowledge. Where is the knowledge? Knowledge is the name of thoughts. What happened to the thoughts? Thoughts will be always there. Okay, knowledge in the form of thoughts, they will remain resolved. When they are resolved, what happens? Knowledge also is resolved, isn't it? And that knowledge again becomes manifest. What becomes unmanifest becomes manifest. That's why it's said to be what now? Perennially eternal. Doesn't get destroyed totally. That is the strength of Sanatana Dharma. You know that? Amazing.
Swamiji, can you just, from Yasma, Sakshat, Paramakya?
Yeah?
Paramatma, Atmakya. Could you just give just a, like a, almost like a,
okay,
translation of...
See, okay. What he says, Tasma Sarvagatam Brahma. Okay, no. See, Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam is the original words in the text, isn't it? Brahma, first he said what? Karma Brahma Udbhavam. He said, this performance of Yajna, no, where do you get this idea? Where do you get this significant concept of performing a Yajna? This activity, isn't it? Worship. The significance of worship, where do you get it? He says, Brahma Udbhavam. It's from the Veda. Isn't it? Brahma means Veda, he says. Where does the Brahma come from? Where does this Veda come from? Is it the significance of worship you know from Veda? But where does the Veda come from? There he says, Akshara Samudbhavam. He is so emphatic. Bhagavan, it is not an intellect, product of human intellect. It's directly from Bhagavan. But direct from, it isn't. Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. That line he explains here. Yasmat. From which? From which means what? Sakshat. Sakshat means what? There is no immediately. Isn't it? There is no, nothing is in between. Between the knowledge and from where the knowledge came from, there is nothing in between. Understand now? The Sakshat directly from, immediately from, where? Paramatma, the absolute self, the absolute reality. So Sakshat Paramatma Akhyat. Paramatma Akhyat means what? Paramatma Akhyat Purushat. The imperishable person, the Aksharat Purushat. Akshara Purushaha means what? Aksharaha Purushaha. The imperishable person is the imperishable reality. The person means what here? Akshara Purushaha is Param Brahma only. Aksharat Purushat, from Bhagavan, from Ishvara, the Lord Purushat. Who is the Akshara Purushaha? Known as the absolute reality, the absolute self. Akshara Purushaha, the imperishable reality, the imperishable person who is known by the word absolute self, absolute reality, Paramatma, Akhyat, Aksharat, Purushat, Sakshat, directly. See, all are panchami. Sakshat is not panchami. Okay? Yeah. Sakshat means what? That is directly. That is an adverb, isn't it? You should not look at everything. Tittiti comes, no? Yasmat, paramatma, kyat, aksharat, purushat. Sakshat is what? Not panchami. Because anything it means, why ends it? Why it means panchami? You shouldn't take it. Sakshat means what? Directly. Again, one more it comes. Nishwasavat. There again, not panchami. Nishwasaha means breath, isn't it? Nishwasaha. Nishwasavat. Like the breath. Isn't it? Nishwasavat. Samudbhutam. Just as breath comes in and goes in, comes out and goes in, so also what? So effortlessly, no? It just came from Bhagavan. Nishwasavat. Why? He has to say, if you really analyze, where does the breath come out, no? From, where does it go in? At least you have this, no? You can't really locate. You know, you have the lungs and all that. This function, no? It goes and fills in and it comes out. Now we know this expansion, contraction of the lungs, etc. All this we talk about, really speaking. How the oxygen goes and how the oxygen, carbon dioxide comes out. It's an amazing thing. You know that? Do you really see them? See that? We find it suffocating, difficult if we don't breathe in and breathe out. So that is why you know. You can't exactly know, you know. What the body needs oxygen, people know. Therefore we know. Understand? This is something very subtle. It is as subtle as this. As direct as this. Isn't it? Effortlessness also, it is implied here. Nishvasavat samudbhutam brahma. Therefore, tasmat, therefore what? Sarva artha prakashakatvat. Say now.
Sarva
artha prakashakatvat. Can you see the now?
Yes, okay.
Sarva artha prakashakatvat means what? Veda has the status of being the revealer of everything. Sarva artham prakashayati iti sarvartha prakashakaha. Vedaha. Sarvartha prakashakatvam means what? Isn't it the reveal, no, the state, entertaining, enjoying the status of being the revealer of everything. Isn't it? So he simply say all revealing, easily she can say that. Sarva artha prakashakatvam vedasya asti. Vedasya sarva artha prakashakatvam asti. Veda has the capacity, Veda has the status of being the revealer of everything. Therefore it what? Therefore said what? Said to be sarvagatam. Sarvagatam Brahma. That Brahma, therefore with what now? Nityam. Yajne pratishthitam. Yajne pratishthitam. That's why the Veda also, how does it, Veda, where is Veda now? Veda reveals everything all about Yajna. Understand now, that Veda again lives through where? Where is it rooted? In living a life of Dharma, in Yajna. Is it clear now? That means Veda is rooted well in the Yajna means what? So whatever reveals, what is revealed by the Veda also becomes revealed only when you live a life of Dharma, Yajna. Understand? Whatever it reveals will be locked. If it has to be open, has to become, it has to be revealing, comprehensible for you. It is all knowledge, isn't it? The book is there, but it should become, comprehensible for me, isn't it? That means what? Dharmam sharanam gacchami. What choice you have?
back to the 14th shloka, where it says right at the end, yajna is the extreme of work.
Yeah?
You might just explain that again. Right at the end of that shloka.
Okay. Yajna karma samudbhavaha. Karma samudbhavaha means, see, this yajna, the significance of worship, and the attitude of offering, and then expression of one's gratitude, and one expression of one's acknowledgement of the contribution of devatas, and you know, this gratefulness, all these things, you know, they all the attitudes, number of thoughts, they're involved in performing a ritual, or in action also, their activities also, living a life of dharma, isn't it? Living a life of karma yoga, or performance of ritual. No, all of them, what is implied is nothing is mine. I'm everything, everything what I'm enjoying is given to me. It's a big understanding. If you really analyze, Swamiji will say, he'll say, if analyze what is there in yours. Now if you think every cell, if you analyze, no, the what was there before is not now, it's changing. At least it'll be just the pajama. He'll say that. Now Swamiji says, what I'm saying. This is the thing. Swamiji has his own unique things to say. Now, what I'm saying, this is na karma. This yajna, there's no way of living a life of dharma without doing karma. A simple example I'll give you, tell you. If I know speaking the truth is right, right action, this is my knowledge of value, isn't it? Value. But it is not, you know, if you simply know the truth thing, no? How does the truthfulness live? Only when it is lived, isn't it? If I speak, I had to do the act of speaking, and then I follow that value, that is how the value becomes lived, isn't it? Similarly, is clear what I'm saying? The value of truthfulness lives. When does it live? Only when it is followed. If I don't speak anything at all, there's no act of speaking, means without doing the act of speaking, isn't it? The dharma doesn't become lived. So dharma always needs an expression for which one has to live dharma. Only through living dharma becomes expressed. Similarly, the yajna, the worship also is what? Expressing your reverence, expressing your humility, expressing your acknowledgement of the contribution of devatas, for which you express your gratitude, that needs expression, is a karma. Suppose, okay, you feel, okay, your daughter comes to you, your son comes to you, no? And on a birthday or some wedding day or something, they come to you, and then you feel so happy about them, about her, you want to wish her, but you don't say anything. No, when your mind, you think something, my daughter should be happy or something like that, you think. That's also a good thing. But when you give her some gift, the gift is what? Expression of your joy. Isn't it? What do you go through? Your love. It needs, love is in the mind, isn't it? The thought. But it gets expressed when you give something. That action, no? It needs expression. The attitude or the thought, for the thought to be expressed, action is the means. So, yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. Only by performing karma, no, yajna becomes lived. That's what karma samudbhavaha. There's no yajna, there's no worship, there is no offering, there's no living a life of dharma without karma. So we managed to go back a little bit of bhashyam. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. The third chapter is a very, very Okay, every chapter is a beautiful chapter, but really make you think a lot. Isn't that? Actually, the what one good thing about I want to really talk about is, see, the more you understand the eternity of the reality, you'll also understand the perennial eternity of Vedas. And how it is Sakshat Parapurushat when you say, what does it mean by saying the facts got revealed to the minds? When you say it is not a product of human intellect, when you say it's not like any science, no? When you say something, you have to understand that. We'll take care of it in the far future classes. But still something is, you got it, isn't it? It's all falling in its place. See, why I'm not talking much about the Yajna here, sometimes Swami don't talk about Yajna at all. Because in India, living a Vedic way of life means, we have to understand the religious life, you know, the religious activity and the mundane activity. In fact, everything is for us sacred. There is nothing, the day-to-day activity is also sacred only. There is no secular activity and something is sacred, okay? When you do worship, it is puja and it's a worship sacred, isn't it? And all the activities are what now? Secular? No. Secular also is sacred. Isn't it? There is no such thing called secular activity at all according to Vedanta Shastram. Everything is sacred. And the attitude is, because that is the only way you have to be as a part of, you have to contribute, be a part of the Jagat. Now be a member of the Jagat. Isn't it? So you see that. Isn't it? You should know your place where you are. So you should be what you should be doing. Isn't it? You don't need to do so much. So at least acknowledge non-violence means people think of, understand, so non-hurting begins here. Not hurting the feelings, the physically, mentally, or orally. Not the feelings, okay? That starts for which I speak the truth. I don't speak all the truths. I don't tell a lie at all. And then I don't steal, I don't rob, I don't betray, I'm kind, I don't hurt. That begins here. So what? For the non-violation of the values. Now, non-hurting leads to what? Non-violence. Not violating the universal law and order. Non-injury, isn't ahimsa here is what? It begins from a simple thing. I don't want to hurt. Really, nobody really wants to hurt. Unknowingly we hurt. Sometimes, really speaking, it's all our lack of clarity, lack of viveka, that is why we completely helpless reactions and things, we hurt actually. Really speaking, nobody knowingly, I want to hurt, I'm going to hurt that person. If somebody does it, that is completely uncontrollable, that is rakshasa buddhi, isn't it? But genuine effort is there, but in spite of that means a prarabdha comes. That is where one has to use buddhi, willpower and shakti to manage that buddhi. Thoughts come because you have no say over the thoughts. What are thoughts come, it means what? But they have to be managed. For which you need to have buddhi. You need to use your willpower. You need to use your knowledge of values. And for to be able to use your willpower to manage them, you need Bhagavan's grace. That is why pray and seek grace. Isn't it? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.